Penguin Random House Audio presents The Perfect Wife by J.P. Delaney. Read for you by Saskia Merleveld, Graham Halstead, and Ewan Morton. With a note read by the author. When Pygmalion saw the way these women behaved, he was disgusted by the many faults nature has instilled in the female sex, and for a long time lived as a bachelor, without a wife to share his bed. Ovid, Metamorphoses. What is love but another name for positive reinforcement? B.F. Skinner, Walden 2. 1. You're having that dream again, the one where you and Tim are in Jaipur for Diwali. Everywhere you look, every doorway and window, there are lanterns and candles, firecrackers and fairy lights. Courtyards have become flickering pools of flame, their entrances surrounded by intricate designs of colored rice paste. Drums and cymbals throb and sizzle. Surrendering to the din and confusion, you surge with the crowd through a market, the stallholders urging platters of sweets on you from every side. On an impulse, you stop at a stall where a woman decorates skin with beautiful Hindi patterns, the smell of sandalwood from her brushes mingling with the acrid, savory cordite from the firecrackers and the aroma of kaju, roasting cashew nuts. As she paints you, deft and quick, a cluster of young men dance past, their faces painted blue, their muscular torsos bare. Then come back, dancing just for you, their expressions deadly serious. And then, the final touch, she paints a bindi on your forehead, right between your eyes, telling you how the scarlet dot marks you out as married, a woman with all the knowledge of the world. But I'm not, you protest, almost pulling away, fearful you're going to offend some local sensibility. And then you hear Tim's laugh and see the box he produces from his pocket. And even before he goes down on one knee, right here in the midst of all this noise and mayhem, you know this is it. He's really going to do it. And your heart overflows. Abby Cullen, he begins, ever since you erupted into my life, I've known we have to be together. And then you're waking up. Every part of you hurts. Your eyes are the worst, the bright lights searing into your skull, the ache in your brain connecting with the stiffness in your neck, soreness all the way down your spine. Machines beep and whir. A hospital? Were you in an accident? You try to move your arms. They're stiff. You can barely bend your elbows. Painfully, you reach up and touch your face. Bandages encase your neck. You must have been in an accident of some kind, but you can't remember it. That happens, you tell yourself groggily. People come around from crashes not remembering the impact, or even having been in a car. The important thing is, you're alive. Was Tim in the car as well? Was he driving? What about Danny? At the thought that Danny or Tim might have been killed, you almost gasp, but you can't. Some change in the beeping machine, though, has alerted a nurse. A blue hospital uniform, a woman's waist, passes at eye level, adjusting something. But it hurts too much to look up at her. She's up and running, she murmurs. Thank God, Tim's voice says. So he's alive after all, and right here by your bedside. Relief floods through you. Then his face appears, looking down at you. He's wearing what he always wears, black jeans, a plain gray t-shirt, and a white baseball cap. But his face is gaunt, the lines deeper than you've ever seen them before. Abby, he says. Abby. His eyes glisten with tears, which fills you with alarm. Tim never cries. Where am I? Your voice is hoarse. You're safe. Was there an accident? Is Danny okay? Danny's fine. Rest now. I'll explain later.